nanohub.org.
Online simulation and more for nanotechnology.
Good afternoon. Let's get started. So far we have covered a range of methods from lattice dynamics, molecular dynamics, Boltzmann equation, first principles calculations, and Monte Carlo simulation, right? There are a few other methods we didn't cover, but we show you how to couple, like the continuum level methods, finite difference, finite element, right? So all these methods are pretty powerful, but sometimes, often, they are quite expensive as well, right? So how we can make the best use of these methods, and these days, machine learning has become very kind of useful. In one sense is that over the years, we have much better computational power available that will allow us to perform machine learning at the level that we couldn't do it before. Right? So machine learning has been there for a long time, but we see a surge in the recent few years, you know, driven by the application as well as the computational power we have. So you can see Purdue has a great initiative on this data science as well. We are talking about implement 1 credit for undergraduate, and for graduate, we are also discussing some plan. So, these are 150 anniversary. You see, health, longevity, sustainable energy, economy, and the planet. So, this is sort of where our course is relevant as well. We talk about energy transfer, and that is very important for a sustainable planet. For global warming issues and so on. So energy transport can help in that area. Okay, artificial intelligence. This is something that we're going to touch today. Machine learning is a part of this artificial intelligence, space exploration. Certainly, our energy is also very relevant for space, right? The energy transport channels are quite different for space missions and properties like conduction, radiation, reactions are all relevant, all right? Okay, so what is machine learning? First of all, we know artificial intelligence, right? There are tons of movies about artificial intelligence, probably better known than machine learning into the general public. So artificial intelligence basically machines that are able to perform tasks normally require like a human intelligence, right? So machine get their own intelligence. For example, you can recognize a speech, you can make decisions. So for how to realizing this artificial intelligence, for example, we can do a coding as if, as then, or if then else type of a loop. So for machines to make decisions, but this is a pretty simple way. Still, there are much more advanced approaches for that. Okay, so what is machine learning? So machine learning is the concept that computers, when we provide them with enough data, right, they can learn from the data and figure out the patterns and the inherent rules, then they can predict the behavior of new data sets, right? Okay, so the machine learning is a kind of part of artificial intelligence, right? So we're going to especially talk about how machine learning can help us on the transport, materials development, and so on. Okay, so machine learning has been used successfully in many other fields now. For example, on this, the game Go playing. So AlphaGo, beat the world champion, Sato Lee, right? This was considered as impossible even like 10 years ago or 20 years ago, right? So the Go game is much more complicated than the chess, right? Chess that machine learning, or artificial intelligence already, beat human champion, more than 2 decades ago. But this is the Go game was pretty recent. Okay, so this is supported again by the algorithms and also by the supercomputer. So there's a supercomputer running behind. There's also a human being is representing AlphaGo, as you can see in the picture, but this really a supercomputer at the back. Right. So self-driving cars has been very promising as well, and has sensors, cameras to sense the road conditions and so on, and the weather, for example, and make decisions, right? I think the technology is quite there, but there are all other like legal reasons and so on. So it probably will still take a long time for this to be, you will see this on the roads, right? So there's a speech recognition or translation, for example, English to Chinese, French, and so on. There was even reports, you know, textbooks now can be written by machine learning, right? They automatically read thousands or millions of papers, and then they put things together, and they can write a review article or textbook. I haven't read the textbook yet. I don't know how good they are. But if somebody write a book on energy or heat transfer, I would be really interested to check out, see how advanced these are, right? And the facial recognition. So facial recognition is basically a way for image processing. So from the image, you will extract the patterns, descriptors, and for the person, and try to match with a huge database, right, to identify what who the person is. So as far as I know, the accuracy is still the concern. So although there are some kind of very aggressive applications using the face recognition for pay, right? So that then for that purpose, I have to very accurate, like one-to-one correspondence, but I guess it's still not quite there yet, right? Well, this image processing can be also used for modeling physical property, right? For example, porous media. Porous media, you have basically you can look at cross-section, look at where the pores are, and find the descriptors related to thermoactivity and porosity and other properties. So very kind of a similar technology can be used for different applications based on the image processing, right? So, for our purpose, for energy transfer, one application could be the materials development or search, or you can call optimization, right? So for these applications, we need kind of even better performance when we want to push to the high and the low limits. Okay, so this figure is showing the thermoactivity prediction using ab initio calculations. So you can see there are very high thermoactivity materials, like graphene, starting from diamond, graphene, and more recently boron arsenide or so, right? So these materials are very useful for thermal management. As we shrink the size of transistors, you need good heat spreader and to guide the heat away, right? So the thermoactivities on the low side are also very useful for insulation, I mean, for your house, for thermal barrier coatings, for turbo engines, and also for thermoelectric energy conversion or thermoelectric cooling, where you need a low thermoactivity, as we introduced last time. Actually, this is a figure from a review paper I participated in, and each data point represents a paper, and this is hundreds of papers, and took human beings like many years, you can see a decade, right, to perform. And these calculations are quite expensive too. So how can we learn from this data? Right now, we already have a database basically on the composition, and how those related to the thermal activity. And can we use this as a database to train, use a machine learning to predict the new materials much more quickly than what we have done so far? I would say that to generate, predict these materials accurately, that has already taken a lot of efforts, advanced in terms of computational methods, right? These methods will still be very useful when we couple with machine learning, because machine learning, you still need some method. You need, initial data sets, right? Either from, experiment, either from simulations, right? So when we push towards the high and the low limits, it's become more and more difficult, right? Can we benefit from the machine learning, right? Now, this is another example, not on thermal conductivity, but on the light absorbing materials for photovoltaic application, right? So for photovoltaic application, you need a good combination of a band gap absorption coefficient and so on. So these kind of review paper summarize all these materials, you know, as a function of the band gap. Okay, so how can we learn from these many data available and design better photovoltaic materials, right? So that's the question. Okay. So these data can be used by machine learning models to learn mapping or correlation between the materials descriptors and the transport property, right? The descriptors can include the lattice structure and the mechanical properties if you already measure them, and those can be treated as knowns, right? The transport properties, thermal conductivity, absorption coefficient, and electrical conductivity and so on, which you need for the applications we already talked about, right? So if we can do a quick mapping between the material descriptor and transport property, that can definitely save a lot of time for fabrication in the trial and error methods. So about 10 years ago or 8 years ago, the Material Genome Initiative was really targeting this goal. So conventionally, the materials were developed by the trial and error, right? So based on your intuition, you synthesize the materials you believe promising and test them and learn from that. You know, it could be a success, could be a failure, but you learn from those and then you go to lab again and synthesize new sets of materials. But how can we help that with predictions, right? Certainly we need high fidelity, right? If your predictions do not have reasonable accuracy, the predictions would not really be useful, right? So we want to predict those properties as accurate as we can. So on one hand, we need better physical methods, right, which can be expensive. On the other hand, how can we accelerate that using methods like machine learning, right? So so what we can do these days with the data available, it could be experimental data where we already know the materials being measured. We trust those data, and we have simulation data, although sometimes they are maybe not as convincing as the experiment data, right? Sometimes experimental data that could be wrong as well, right, in the literature. So we have to judge that. But usually the simulation data, before they are validated, we can use them, but we need to use them with caution, right? So other databases as well. Okay, so we use machine learning methods to develop the map. For example, the neural network shown here is one approach to figure out the transport property and the structure relation. So with that, now we can, with that relationship or understanding, we can test new materials rapidly, you know, quickly screen new materials, right? So with structure, now we can quickly get the property without doing experiment, without doing the most expensive simulations, right? Okay, so these properties now can be tested with much higher success rate because this no longer like a trial and error. We have some knowledge, right? We believe we're confident in those knowledge, and then these applications can be energy like thermoelectric or microelectronics application like CPU materials or design the structures, right? So this was from a pretty nice mini review paper on nanonetters. Okay, so these are materials. Actually, other structures, there are other use for machine learning like design heat exchangers, right? Heat exchangers, the configuration can be very complicated, and especially now the machine learning can be even coupled with 3D printing, right? Previously, you can design a very fancy structure, but a conventional manufacturing methods cannot make them. And these days with 3D manufacturing, 3D printing, additive manufacturing, very complicated geometries can be made. So when machine learning coupled with that, now you can touch a lot wider design space, which are not possible before, right? Okay, so the different methods for machine learning. Machine learning is a like the buzzwords today, right? I don't think people are exactly sure what should be put into the umbrella of machine learning, right? Some people criticize, say, you just rebranded the things we know, like statistics or optimization as machine learning, or it should really be just neural network, right? But in the broad sense, all these methods, you know, they can be characterized into the machine learning category, right? So such as statistical methods, the Bayesian optimization methods, or Gaussian process regression. There are evolutionary methods such as general algorithm, which has been there for a while, before the machine learning becomes a focal point. Okay, there's a swarm algorithm, like particle swap, swarm optimization, and there are neural networks, which kind of, these are more emerging methods these days. Different types of neural networks, we're gonna go a little bit detail pretty soon, like such as a fully connected neural network, convolutional neural network, and generative adverse surreal network. Right. Okay. So what can we do with machine learning? What are the powers of these? So relevant to what we cover in our class for energy transport, there are a few things we can show you as a case studies. Right. For example, we can develop classical atomic potentials using machine learning. Right. We can either even use machine learning potential without involving those classical parameters. So those are called the machine learning potential. Okay. And we can also accelerate the prediction of the physical quantities such as the Fong-Long scattering rates and the realization times. You know, this is still pretty much a proposal, actually, which we believe we should be able to do, but this is a very kind of a emerging area, really not much literature on how you can accelerate the scattering from the Fermi's golden rule, right? Okay, the discovery of new physics. Well, discovery of new physics by machine learning alone is very challenging. That's the holy grail of machine learning. I mean, it's well known machine learning is like a dark box. Right, it gives you the optimization or optimized outcomes. It doesn't really tell you the new physics, right? The physics has to still come from the human beings, the researchers, right? But machine learning can help you touch some of the design space or physical space that you are not able to do if you just do a manual work. Okay, we can show you something like that. So. Assisted by machine learning, coupled with human intelligence, now we have much more chance to discover new physics than before, right? But again, these new physics, I think that for researchers, we need even better researchers. After you see the outcome from machine learning, we need to be able to analyze them, right? So people talk about whether machine learning they might replace drivers or so, right? Can they even replace researchers? Then that should be our worry, right? Can they replace PhDs? I would say they will replace the low-level kind of labor extensive. If you just run the simulations or manually again and again, then it will be replaced. And that part will be replaced. But that kind of push us as researchers to be aim at a higher level to really understand what's going on, understand the mechanism behind. So if you're good on that, you know, I don't think you will be replaced because at least for now, machine is still not good, to understand the physics themselves, right? Okay. So, Then machine learning has a lot of potential in design optimization. Okay. So optimize of materials, optimize of structures, or even design of simulations. It can tell you what kind of simulations you should do, right? Or design of experiments. Okay.